Today is Abraham offering up his son Isaac, and also Abraham seeing that Isaac received a wife from the Lord. Last week we left off teaching you how that Abraham was called upon by God to take his only son Isaac and go into the land of Moriah and offer him up there for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Abraham, he did not reason with flesh and blood, for had he done so, he would have never went. Abraham likewise was in an altogether different position than David was when David was tempted to take Bathsheba. He fell in this temptation. His mind and his thoughts and his desires at this time were fleshly. But by Abraham, when God came to him with this command, he was in a spiritual state, very lively inwardly, exercised with God in heaven above. And when he received this command, he immediately went ahead to obey it. We may see in this how strong the faith was that God gave Abraham at this particular time. If he had reasoned with himself, why, he would have said, "What does God want me to do?" Where he directly commands that we should not kill anyone, do I have to go and take my son and murder him? Faith did not reason with this, what I am speaking about. Faith took fast hold upon the command that God had given him. He could have likewise reasoned likewise and said, "Must I be such a monster as to take my only son and murder him?" Why, it was against all natural affection and feelings in the part of Abraham. Likewise, what would the nations round about say if he done something like this to his son? We see in this how that the faith of Abraham triumphed over all these questions that would arise in the mind of any human being if God came to him with this command. Or you might say to me, "Well, how is it possible that God would come with such a command to take someone, only son, and offer him up for a burnt offering?" My hearers, God is the giver of life, and God has a right to take our life. And if God gives an express command as this, and if Abraham had obeyed it, he had not sinned. He had not committed a murder, but he had been obedient to the command of him who is the highest of the highest. And now we see Abraham rising up early in the morning, and he takes some of his servants with him. He gets the wood, he cleaves it, and he takes fire in his hand. It appears that they didn't have matches in those times like we have, but they took fire with them. And off he went. God had said unto him that he would point out to him where he would have to offer up his son. He was then probably looking for some sign from God whereby he could go and be assured that that was the particular place that Abraham should offer up his son Isaac. And now when he came to this mountain in the land of Moriah, he said unto his servants, "Abide ye here at the foot of this mountain, and I and my son shall go up unto this mountain, and we shall return again." How wonderful for him to say this, "and we shall return again." You see, the faith of Abraham was so strong as to believe that even if he had offered up his son Isaac, that God was fully able to raise him up again, and that he would surely return again to his servants. And now we find the servants remaining at the foot of the mountain. And Abraham, he takes the wood and he lays it upon Isaac. And he takes the fire and he takes the knife in his hand, and off they go. Isaac, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Christ was led out of the city of Jerusalem to be crucified, they laid the cross upon Christ. Here we have Isaac having the wood laid upon his shoulders. And as they're walking along, he turns and says to his father, "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb?" Oh, what should Abraham say to his son? Should he say to him, "You're going to be the lamb"? He didn't dare say this to him. But he says prophetically, "God himself will provide a lamb, son." Now, whether he said this by faith, believing that God would provide that ram that was caught fast in the thicket, or whether he spoke it now with an eye looking unto Christ, who was to come in the fullness of time. Regardless of which way his mind was dwelling when he recited these words, he spake the truth. And as they went up to the top of this mountain, we find that Abraham, he built an altar. You must know that this boy, Isaac, he must have been in the neighborhood of about 25 years of age. He was no young man then. He was a fully grown man. And now, Abraham, he must have talked with Isaac concerning this command that God had given him. For we do not read that Isaac struggled with his father or offered him any resistance whatsoever, where his father was pretty old and he could have easily escaped out of his hands. But it seems that Isaac had faith likewise, for he gave himself over into the hands of his father to be bound. He then likewise was obedient unto his father and unto God in heaven. And Abraham, he ties his son and he lays him upon the wood, upon this altar. Oh, picture to yourself what strong faith this man, Abraham, had. He takes hold of the knife. And probably before he's going to slay him, he bends over the top of him and he kisses him. Think how often the hands of Isaac had been lifted up in prayer. How often probably the arms of Isaac had encircled Abraham, his father, and had kissed him. And now his father is filled with fatherly affection towards his son. And he bends over him and he kisses him, and probably he gives him another kiss for Sarah, his mother. And then he takes the knife in his hand. Why, if we look at this, my hearers, we have here a spectacle that God and that angels may look upon. Here is a father ready to slay his own son. And he does not turn away from doing it. He is obedient to that God who had commanded him to do this. And he takes the knife and he's ready to plunge it into the throat of Isaac. And as he attempted to do this, he heard a voice speaking unto him. "Abraham, Abraham." Oh, that was the voice that he had heard in the land of Ur the Chaldees, that voice that had called him out of that land of idolatry, that voice that had thrilled through his soul so many times. He knew that voice. Do you know it, my hearers? Have you ever heard it? Has it ever thrilled to your soul? Have you ever been given to say inwardly, that's the voice of my beloved? Oh, a wonderful voice. And you know that voice always comes in the nick of time. You see that here in the case of Abraham. Just as he was ready to slay his son, the Lord speak from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, do not slay thy son Isaac, for I know now that thou fearest me. O God then withheld Abraham from slaying his son Isaac. My hearers, you know, faith is a wonderful grace. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of the other grace that's connected with it, and that's love. These two are called brother and sister many times by God's dear children. And this love in the heart of Abraham was stronger than the love that he had to his own child. Oh, he loved that God in heaven above, and he revealed it in being obedient unto that God. He would have sooner slayed his son than be disobedient to that man, to that glorious God-man in heaven above. And my hearers, when he was withheld, you may realize something in your mind of what went through of this man, Abraham. Oh, he was withheld from doing what God commanded him to do, and it was revealed unto him that it was a trial whether he loved God more than he loved his son Isaac. And he did. In this particular case, he revealed it. And now God, in his infinite mercy, he had, by his all-wise providence, let a ram be caught in the brush behind the altar where Abraham was going to offer up his son. All the fulfillment of the words that he spoke unto his son Isaac on the way up to the mountain. How wonderful is God. And then we find Abraham untying his son, and then he took this ram, and he offered up this ram as a sacrifice unto God. And then God came again the second time and spake unto him from heaven, and said unto him, in blessing I will bless thee, for thou hast been obedient unto me. And God again renewed the promises that he gave unto Abraham at the first, that he would multiply his seed, and that he would make it more than the stars in the heavens above, and that that land in which he was would be the land where these people would dwell in. Oh, in this, my hearers, we see something what God the Father has done in Isaac being offered up by Abraham as a sacrifice to God. We have God the Father giving his only begotten son. And there was no ram in the place of this son, fortunately for you and me. This son, Jesus, he had to be offered up. He who spared not his own son, but offered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? It is only through this offering, through this sacrifice, my hearers, that you and I can be saved in time and for eternity. Oh, wonderful it is when we view this offering in this way, seeing in this the love of God, which has no bounds, of which we cannot even fathom a thought. Abraham had such strong love to God that it overcome the love towards his son. But the love of God is so strong that it overcome even the love to his own son. in offering him up for what? For sins. Oh, may we all be given to know something of this wonderful love in our hearts, in our experience. And we find Abraham returning back down to the servants, and he went back to the land of Beersheba, and he dwelt there. 12 years later, the domestic happiness of Abraham was broken. We read, and Sarah, at the age of 127 years, died in the land of Beersheba. And Abraham came to bury her. He came to mourn for her. And we find him buying a field off a certain man. And in this field there was a cave. And here they interred Sarah. He buried his wife. This must have been a severe loss to Abraham and to Isaac. Abraham lost his wife. Isaac, he lost his mother. These are very keen cuts, which cut to the very heart when they take place in life. There are some of my hearers who probably have lost their mother, their father. Some have lost their children. Some have lost their partners in life. Oh, what blows these are, my hearers, when we have to pass through them. Some of us haven't passed through them yet. It's the goodness of God yet that we are joined together yet in love and in affection if we are married. And if we are yet single and well, we have God to thank that we are yet alive. All these losses, my hearers, are very severe. But I would speak to you about another loss. And I wish that every one of my hearers felt that loss more than the loss that you have experienced in missing one that's dear and beloved to you. We have lost God, my hearers. How many feel it? How many are concerned about this loss? For the most part, people aren't concerned about it. But the instant that God puts it into the heart of a sinner that he has lost God, that sinner becomes so concerned. Oh, he wants to return to that God. Oh, to die without knowing that God is his God. Is his concern. Have you that concern, my hearers? You're not concerned about the loss of God? How sad is your state and condition? Oh, I know some of you feel that grief and the loss of your loved ones, but believe me, if ever God comes to you and gives you the feel that you have lost him, you'll feel that more than you have felt any temporal or any fleshly loss in this life. All this loss sets a sinner immediately to work. Or he wants to gain again the favor of God. And what does he do? He begins to leave his sins. He begins to pray. He begins to seek God sincerely, uprightly. He means it. Or he attempts in every way to be favorable unto God. You've tried it, have you? Are you still trying it? Well, this is the way we want to gain the favor of God. You know how God comes, my hearers? He comes in such a different way. Oh, God comes and breaks down everything that you and I do. Or he breaks down everything that we try to build up. And he brings us down so low that it's an impossibility to ever be reconciled with that God. Then God reveals there is a way whereby we can be reconciled with him. and that is in and through his dear son, Jesus. You know anything about it, my hearers? Well, I wish you all knew something about this. You've all lost God, and you're all going to meet this God, believe me. You're either going to meet him as your enemy, or you're going to meet him as your friend, as your God, reconciled to you through Jesus Christ. Oh, how I wish that I could put this concern into the hearts of you, my hearers. It's an impossibility on my part. It's God that must do that. Oh, I do long to see sinners concerned about their eternal welfare and about being reconciled with this wonderful God in heaven above. God breaks down, my hearers, and we build up. God brings us so low that he makes us fit subjects for Jesus Christ, his dear son. And now, my hearers, we find Abraham in our lesson today. He's old and he's stricken in age, and God has blessed him in all things. Abraham is a wealthy man. He's got gold, he's got silver, he's got flocks. Oh, he's got so much. He has a great estate. One thing he hasn't got any land. He only has that field that he purchased. That's all he has in the land of Canaan. That's where he buried his wife. But he's wealthy. God has blessed him. You know, it's such a great blessing. When we're old and stricken in age, and God has blessed us all our life, so that we have accumulated something to leave unto our children, if we have them. At one time, Abraham didn't have any child. At one time, he had said to God, I have no one but this servant, Eliezer of Damascus, to whom I have to leave everything. But God promised him that he was going to give him a son. And God fulfilled his promise. And now Abraham is old. And he's thinking, what am I going to do with all my riches? He's thinking it would be such a great blessing if Isaac, my son, had a wife. Oh, he wanted to see that his son Isaac had a good wife. So he calls his oldest servant, Eliezer, a man probably in the neighborhood of 80-some years of age, a man that feared God. Oh, he had such a good servant on this man. There aren't many servants that fear God. And now he says unto him, swear unto me by the Lord that you will not take any wife for my son Isaac from the inhabitants of the land in which we dwell, the Canaanites. He did not want to see his son married to any one of them. He knew that in the due course of time these Canaanites were doomed. He seen that these Canaanites were falling into all manner of sin. And he did not want his son married to one like that. He wanted his son married to somebody that was of his own kindred. And now he makes this servant swear by the Lord, put his hand underneath his bosom and swear that he wouldn't let him take a wife out of the land of Canaan. And now he sends this servant on an errand to go into the land out of which Abraham had been called. And there he had relatives. And there he wished that this servant would go and seek for a wife for his son Isaac. Now this servant, he was gifted with wisdom. For he said unto Abraham, suppose now I get into that land and this woman doesn't want to come along. Do I have to bring your son back into that land and bring her to that woman? No, Abraham says. See that thou doest this not. He says unto him, he says, the God who called me out of all the Chaldees, the God of heaven and earth, who has blessed me and who has promised unto me that he will give this land unto my seed. He will send an angel before thee, and he shall make thy way prosperous. And now if thou comest into this land, and thou dost not find a wife of my son Isaac, then thou shalt be free and clear from this our oath. And the servant agreed. Now this servant, he took 10 of the master's camels and laid it all sorts of things upon them, and he takes servants with him, and off he goes to the land of Mesopotamia, into the land where Abraham had relatives. How long it was, how far it was, I haven't any idea. But he came to the land, and he came to a place where there was a well. And he made his camels kneel down by this well, and he kneeled down himself, and he began to pray. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, all he believed that God was the God of his master. And he spake unto him and said, give me good speed this day. I am standing here at this well. And now the daughters of the sons of men come down to this well to fetch water. And now the one that comes down, in whom I ask, give me a little water out of thy pitcher. And she gives unto me water, and also is willing and does water my camels. Let this be the one whom thou hast chosen for my master's son, Isaac. A wonderful prayer. A wonderful servant, don't you think so? And he gave God a sign whereby he himself could go by. My hearers, there isn't a thing more important, believe me, and over which we should be so concerned in this life as when we are going to enter into a marriage contract. Oh, if we have parents and they give us advice, good advice, and we agree and listen to their advice, then we are good children. For our parents will not give us wrong advice, for they are seeking the welfare of their children. And what a blessing if we listen to them and we adhere to it. You know, so many children, they don't even consider their parents. They go out with anyone that they want to. And finally they come home sometimes and say, we're married. Never ask their parents. They entered into this contract without asking their parents, without seeking God's blessing upon it. And many times, my hearers, these marriages, where do they end? They separate from each other. They end in a divorce. They get married again to somebody else. This is the thing that's taking place almost every day round about us. Take notice this servant, how he sought God. And you know, he didn't go to a playhouse. He didn't go to a theater. He didn't go to a dance hall for a wife for Isaac. He went to the well where the daughters of the sons of men came down for water. They labored, those daughters. They were doing good things. And it's a blessing if we get a wife like that. You know, many of them get wives, they're lazy. They don't want to do anything. All they want to do is paint and powder themselves and look pretty and go out every day. It's a blessing if we have a wife that's willing to stay home and take care of the house and take care of the children, who is a mother indeed. a virtuous woman, we read of in Proverbs. They're hard to find. But if you may seek God for a wife, and God gives you one, you have a blessing. Now this is what Isaac's servant done. And we find that this woman, Rebekah, just as he got done praying, we find this girl coming down to the well with a pitcher on her shoulder. And she goes and she pitches the water out of the well, and she's on her way back. And we find this man, Eliezer, running to this girl. She was fair. She was beautiful. And he ran to her. And he said to her, "Give me a little drink out of thy pitcher." And she let down the pitcher. And he drank out of the pitcher. And she says to him, "I'll give your camels to drink also." And she proceeded to give the camels drink. You know a camel takes an awful lot of water, doesn't he? You ever look it up to see how much water a camel has in his two side pockets? 30 gallons of water they carry. And now this servant, he watched this woman give the water unto his camels. He had 10 camels. Just imagine how much water she must have got out of that well to give unto these camels. He watched her. You know why he watched her? Inwardly, he was saying, "Lord, is this the woman?" It never had happened yet that a woman drew so much water out of a well for camels. It was a godsend to this man. It was an answer to his prayer. He seen right then and there that God was answering him. And when she got done watering the camels, then he asked her who she was. And she explained to him that she was from a relative of Abraham. Her father had been Nahor, her mother. She was still living. And she had a brother by the name of Laban. And when this servant heard this, then he bowed down right then and there. And he worshiped God. Oh, he was so assured, this servant, that God had answered his prayer, and that this was the woman that Isaac should have for his wife. You know it says in the Bible, before they even call, and even while they are speaking, I will answer. How wonderful was the answer to this man's prayer. He had asked God to give him good speed, and God did. Well, my hearers, that's what we would like, wouldn't you? Huh? When you ask God for something, you would want it right away. Just like a little child. You got any children? They come in the house, they say, "Mother, give me an apple, give me a peach." And if you don't give it to them right away, oh, they're dancing on their feet, they want it. And that's the way we are. When we ask God for something, we want it immediately. And when God don't give it to us right away, what do? We leave off asking many times, don't you? You forget about it. You say, "Well, he ain't going to give it to me anyway." Is that proper? Oh, I would entreat you, my hearers. We learn out of this lesson that prayer is answered, but that prayer that God inspires by his own Spirit. It was God that inspired this man to pray this way, and it was God that gave the answer to it immediately. All this teaches us, my hearers, that we likewise should acknowledge God in all our ways and seek from him those things that we long to have for time and eternity. You know, there are many of us, including myself, that have been seeking for many years. Some 20, some 30, some maybe 40. And what have they been seeking? They've been seeking Jesus Christ, that they may find this pearl of great price. And have they ever given up seeking? Oh, yes, many times. You? Yes. Oh, I said already inwardly, I'll not ask God anymore. I'll never get what I'm seeking after. You know why? Because when we seek, it's just mostly with the mind and with the lips. And when that continues for a long space of time, then we conclude therefrom that God is not inviting our prayers and that he will not answer us. And we become despondent and we say inwardly, I ain't going to pray anymore. I wonder if any of my hearers ever said that. Oh, I've said it so often. But to put it into action is another thing. Oh, when God comes, then we must pray. And then he breathes again true prayer to our hearts. And he again gives unto us the exercise of faith, of hope, of love, and of expectation. He renews it again, and always seek him again, as we have from the beginning. He upholds this work in the hearts of his children. And now this man, Eliezer, he spake unto this girl and said, have you any place for us to sleep? Have you any room for our camels and for the servants that I have with me? She says, yes. She says, we got straw and provender enough, she says. And then she returns home. And before she returns home, this servant Eliezer, he gives her bracelets of gold and earrings of gold. He gives her then gifts from his master Abraham. And she runs home and she begins to explain to her parents what had taken place at the well. All this girl was so firmly convinced that it was of God because the servant had explained to her just how he had prayed and how he had an answer to his prayer. And as she returns home and tells it unto her mother and unto Laban, her brother. And my hearers, we find Laban coming down to the well. And he invites this man to come up. Oh, he says some wonderful words. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, he says to this servant. Wherefore wilt thou stay out? My hearers, my time is gone, but I would put this to you. Have you ever said this to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come in. Come into my heart, thou blessed of the Lord. For wherefore wilt thou stay out? If you never have, may you begin to do so this day. May you learn a lesson from this man, Eliezer, who prayed and received an answer. And if it is your heart's desire that Jesus may come into your heart and reveal himself unto you, that there is a day coming when he will hear and answer your prayer to the satisfaction of your soul and to the assurance of that faith that he has wrought in your heart. Oh, I hear you saying, I wished it was today. Oh, I wish that he would appear speedily unto me. That he would do unto me as he said unto, as Eliezer said unto the Lord, give me good speed this day. All may the Lord grant it to each and every seeking heart here present. Next week, the Lord willing, we will pick up our lesson from this point. That's all for today.